or someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
Hallelujah. Some people won't hear anything again tonight. I thank God for those who were with us. Yeah, truly, this star was inaugurated on the 18th of November, 1995, but weeks before that, in fact, months before that, we had been praying, just a small group of people. We had been praying, and close to when we would start the church, actually, we went through a season of fasting and praying, and there were people who were coming. We were praying, we were fasting, we would ask, we would pray, you know, worship, and ask people to say what they were seeing. And it's amazing that the things people said then that they saw when there was nothing, a good chunk of them have become our realities today. So on Friday, the 17th of November, 1995, there were exactly 30 of us who gathered in our living room. We used to live in Bariga then. And what did we do? Before the church started, God brought me into this interesting understanding of the blood covenant and how that's the foundation of Christianity. That's why Jesus had to die, shed his blood. And that was going to be the surest guarantee that God will do what he said he would do. So, on that night of Friday, the 17th of November, 1995, we shared the communion. We shared the communion. And what we said that night was, whatever it would ever take in this church, we will obey you. We will obey your word. That was what we said to God. Whatever it would cost, including our lives, we would obey God. Whatever he says will be final. And we knew as we covenanted with him that day that he also will do his part. We knew it, that he will do his part. So tonight, we'll share the communion. Amen. Amen. We'll share the communion and remind ourselves and remind God that a covenant with God cannot fail. If it does, it can only fail from man's part. It will never fail from God's part. And knowing that, you know, our own business then is to commit to do the word, to obey him, to follow him. That's why for us in this time, it's the word that does wonders. So just before the church started, there was a name that we had given the church. And if it was a very nice name, and it was easy, you know, to innovate the names of the different departments and arms of the church from that beautiful name. And everything was looking good until one day I was driving on Awolowo Way here, and I saw the banner of a church, and that was the name. Ah, the name is gone. What do we do? So I went back home, told Pastor Nike and said, we need to get another name. But this time, instead of doing hit or miss, let's pray and let's search. So the two of us sat on a small dining table, prayed, you know, prayed in the spirit for some time, prayed, And then started searching in the Bible. Until the Holy Spirit flashed 2 Peter 1:19 in my mind. Whereunto ye do well. That's in the King James Version. That ye take heed. As unto a light that shineth in the dark place. Till the day dawn. And the day star ariseth in your heart. And the day star there is Christ. And the vision, of course, God gave us was to build a church where people will discover, release, and maximize their potentials to the extent that they would become models to others in the society. So we saw clearly, Christ is the number one model. Amen. So it just fit. And that's how we became Daystar Christian Center. And sometimes people ask, where did you get that name from? How did you get that name? It came by revelation. Amen. So, just as we share the communion, I just want to remind us. We read that passage earlier from the King James Version. I'll read it from the Message Bible, which kind of preaches. The Message Bible preaches the message all by itself. I'll read 2 Peter 1, 16 to 21. We weren't, you know, just wishing on a star when we laid the facts out before you regarding the powerful return of our Master, Jesus Christ. We were there for the preview. We saw it with our own eyes. Jesus, resplendent with light from God the Father, as the voice of majestic glory spoke, "This is my Son, marked by my love, focus of all my delight." Verse 18 says, we were there on the holy mountain with him. We heard the voice out of heaven with our very own ears. 19 says, we couldn't be more sure of what we saw and heard. God's glory, God's voice. The prophetic word was confirmed to us. You will do well to keep focusing on it. It's the one light you have in the dark time. As you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your hearts. Verse 20. I'll add verses 20 and 21. The main thing to keep in mind here is that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of private opinion. And why? Because it's not something concocted in the human heart. Prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men and women to speak God's word. Amen. Focus on the revelation. Focus on the revelation. Focus on the revelation. We've said over and over in Daystar Christian Center that the most potent force on this planet is revelation. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things that are visible. Revelation. When God wants to give you anything from the spiritual world, he packages it through revelation. He gives you through revelation. In the parable of the sower, Jesus described revelation as seed. When it comes with the infinite wisdom of God worked inside it. One orange seed has inside it the potential for a forest of orange trees. The future has been worked into it by God's infinite wisdom. So when God gives you a revelation, that's what happens. The future is inside it. So the word that God gave us, this day star was inside it. If Jesus' star is the day star of 20 years' time, it's inside it. And it's evolving. From the moment God gives you a revelation, your world changes. Your person is redefined. Your status is redefined. Your future is created. In the realm of the spirit, it becomes real. So I thank God that one grace that we enjoy in this house is the grace for revelation. It's the grace for direction. It's the grace for hearing from God. It's the grace for getting visions and for getting dreams. So it's amazing the experiences we've come through. If you remember what Jesus said, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and took them away. When Jesus explained, he said the seed is the word, but the birds of the air, those birds are devils. He said, when the word comes, he said, Satan comes immediately and takes the word from people. Looking back now, one can understand why we went through what we went through. Even when you don't understand the potency of the revelation that you have, Satan can perceive it because he's a spiritual being. And you know the most important thing he wants to do? Beat that revelation out of you. Sometimes he will throw you up, throw you down, slam you right, left, and center, rush you from every angle. And what he wants you to do is to doubt the word. Take your faith and focus off from the revelation. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. Has God said? Once he can get you to take your focus, get to take your attention, you know, away from the revelation, you are finished. Because it is the revelation that defines who you are. Satan knows. Satan knows. That's your access to the resources heaven has provided for the fulfillment of your destiny. He knows. So he wants to steal it. He wants to take it. Okay? He wants to distract you. I remember the first time the name of this church appeared on the front page of newspapers after we started. It was 1996. It wasn't even a year after we had started. Sunday morning, and the name of this church, then we couldn't afford to, newspaper, we couldn't afford to move near anything media. Yet, our names came up on the front page. Sunday morning. Because something happened on the Saturday. We had the military governor then. It was Environmental Sanitation Day, the Saturday. And he was supervising, just going around inspecting, when he and his crew came upon the dead bodies of two ladies on Okwebi Street. So the governor got down. And you know, the press crew goes around with the governor. The contents of the purses of the two ladies were scattered on the ground. So one of them, when they picked a notebook, her notebook, she wrote her name and she wrote Daystar Christian Center on it. At that time, so the next day, the thing was on the pages of newspapers. They said they were victims of ritual killing, that each of them had one breast cut off, half of the hair had been scraped off. We later found out those were not true. The relatives who went to look at their bodies told us that was not true. Anyway, it so happened that just before then, There was something that happened in Owerri, in Imo State, where they met some skulls in a church. The journalists just linked the two. How come these days churches are being linked with ritual killing? Because these ladies must have gone for night vigil in their church. So the first time the name of our church would get on the newspaper, it was for a bad reason. We didn't have GSM phones then, or so on. My parents were in Kwara State. Their friends were sympathizing with them in church that morning. You know the amazing thing? I got to church, and the secretary that we had then just came to me and said, Sir, you need to read this, and gave me a copy of one of the newspapers. Front page. I read the story. I said, what? So I put the newspaper down, sat down on my seat. There was a letter that she had opened on the table. So I just skimmed through the letter. It was written by the lady who was killed. It's very interesting. It couldn't have been a coincidence. Something was going on, and she wanted to leave that job. That was what she was writing. She was a young Christian. She had just given her life to Christ. That was what she was saying, and she didn't want to do that kind of a job anymore. I don't know what it was they were doing there, but she wanted out. And now she was gone. So the first thing was, you know, ordinarily that would discourage you. What is this? National newspaper. So, but of course, the only place one I could turn to was God. Lord, what is this about? And he told me, Satan can sense your destiny from a million miles. He can sense what I want to do with this church, and he wants to give you a bad label even before you have the opportunity to start. When a lion attacks, you know, a group of antelopes, it roars. When they run, it runs behind them, but you know what it's looking for? The one antelope that will stray away from the rest. Then it goes after that one because it leverages the isolation of that one. And he said, Satan just found a weak one, a young one to take out. He said, the Holy Spirit said to me, the church members, this thing is going to explode and church members are going to be aware after this service today. Tell them yourself what happened. And ask them to pray. Ask them to pray. He said, I will turn the blood of those two young ladies into seed. He said, and I will bring forth a massive harvest in this same place where Satan wants to take you out before you have the opportunity to start. He said, I will bring a massive harvest, and in this same place, massive crowds are going to be coming to this church that Satan won't be able to do anything about. I'm talking about the fact that when God gives you revelation, and Satan senses what it's about, he will want to beat that revelation out of you. He will want to discourage you. But you will do well to take heed, to pay attention, to keep focusing on that word. So he said, you will do well to keep focusing on it. It's the one light you have in a dark time as you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your hearts. So please keep in mind that no prophecy is a matter of private opinion. Daystar Christian Center is not a man's idea. It's not a product of the human mind. Some people will come, they will want to understand what's going on, find out what it is that is working, and I'll tell you this. When you look at the building, you see all the beautiful, you know, everything looking beautiful. Just remember, there's a part of the building you can't see. And that part determines the strength of the building. For us, it's a revelation that undergirds what we do. Some people can use their brains to calculate. But for us, every step of the way we want to ask, Lord, what do you want us to do? We don't raise funds except God asks us to raise funds. Even when he says, raise the funds, we ask how. We never take God's people for granted. Some people can't afford to see a big crowd. They just want to squeeze the money out of their pockets. It's very difficult for me to say my members. I'm not the shepherd. I'm an under shepherd. Church members are not my property. They belong to him. I'm only a steward. Once you have it in the right place like that, you're fine. God will do amazing things as he brings his covenant to pass. And you know the interesting thing? When some people see things working for you, then they get angry. Because some people see themselves even working harder than you do. Yeah, they work harder. So how can it work? So you know what they do? They begin to look for some of the things you do and they criticize. And our church has suffered in its own fair share. Being an innovative church. If you're going to work with the Holy Spirit, you have to be flexible. You have to be flexible. He changes direction at short notice. You have to be flexible. What was working yesterday can ask you to kill it. So he can evolve something new. In Daystar, nothing is sacred. No program is sacred. No event. No department. We can kill anything at any time. Amen. You know, And the church happens to probably be the slowest institution to change in any society. Usually because it is God that told us to do what we're doing. But we don't realize that yesterday's revelation is today's tradition. Yesterday's revelation is today's tradition. The Holy Spirit wants to move on. So we change things. we change things quite a bit. Some people criticize the brevity of our services. They say that our short sermons, 25 minutes or 30 minutes, that it's not food, it is snacks. I thank God that Jesus used the snacks of a young boy to feed a whole crowd. Oh yeah, when we were teaching, running entrepreneurial classes, teaching entrepreneurial episode. So if I read on the internet one day, and a pastor in this city was criticizing me. Said, as for that Sam Adeyemi, we don't know what his problem is. He should go and teach in a business school. What is he doing on a pulpit? I said, ha! I thought I was helping people. So, what people don't realize is that we are as amazed about what is happening as they are. It's not us. It is God. The one who said it is bringing it to pass. The one who said it is bringing it to pass. As we share the communion tonight, I draw your attention to the fact that it says that you wait for the daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your heart. And why? Because it is not something concocted in the human heart. At the end of the day, you have to keep your heart with all diligence. Heart. I tell you, one of the major dimensions to God's dealing with us has been the issue of motive. The lesson that God taught Samuel the prophet the day he went to anoint David. You know, Samuel was going to anoint David's oldest brother, Eliab. And God said, stop! I've tested him. I've rejected him. Samuel moves on to the second one. Says, I rejected that one too. The third one, I rejected that one too. I rejected that one too. I rejected. Then all rejected. Samuel said, Mr. Jesse, do you have another son? God told me to come here and he rejected all. The man said, hey, there's one. There's one. He's out there, you know, running out, looking after the sheep. Samuel said, then he must be the one. If it's only one, and we're not going to sit down till he comes here. Go and bring him. What was the difference? Heart. Heart. God told Samuel, you men look on the outward. He said, but I, the Lord, I look at the inward parts of the heart. Listen, if anyone was desperate to succeed, I was. That's part of the testimony that you had. Especially after reading the Principles for Success. You have a dream. You have a plan. You execute. You take action. And then after you have taken action, you add persistence. You try again and again and again and again. So that's... That's when they stamped me a refusal at the embassy, I told them, I said, I'm coming back. You guys, I will wear you out. So until I later had to realize, when God has closed the door, persistence will not pay you. Persistent action will lead to persistent frustration. if you are doing whatever it is, you know, for the wrong reason. Hey, and what changed everything? When God said, why do you want the church to grow? When I said, you are the Lord added to the church daily, such as was being saved. You are the one that adds people to a church. Bring people. Why are you not bringing people? Then he said, you too. Why do you want the church to grow? I was silent. He said, I know why you want the church to grow. You want to be more comfortable. That's it. You know, the larger the church is, the more comfortable you will be. He said, I want the church to grow, but that's not why I want the church to grow. I didn't raise the church for your comfort. This is not to make you comfortable. It's about the people I sent to you. And until you help them to succeed, you won't find the definition of success for your ministry. It was a turning point. So as we take the communion, please remember, we are identifying with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The self, the willful you, the one that has the capacity to concoct ideas, to concoct plans and schemes, has to die. That part of me had to die. The ambitious one had to die. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains the way it is. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. Jesus said, anyone who wants to follow me, let him carry his cross. He who tries to keep his life, Jesus said he will lose it. But the one who is willing to lose it will find it. What you lose is not what you find. What you lose is the natural you, the self or flesh-driven you. The you that you find is the spirit-filled you, the spirit-driven you. And I'm telling you, when you find that one, you function in the realm of miracles. If it falls down and dies, it will bring forth much fruit. It's amazing. Those who were here the first 3 years of the church, if they can recollect, will know. If you know the number of strategies we tried. Because long before we started, I had read many books on church growth. Especially the ones written by Pastor Yonggi Cho, the largest single congregation in the world. I started reading his books when I was a youth copper. So I had a dream already. I would build one of the largest churches in the world. When I was posted to this city, you know what I did? The first thing I did was to go and visit IFA, which is the largest church in Lagos. It was Deeper Life in Bagada. And it was the largest church in Africa and the fifth largest in the world. So I went there to look at it. Went around to look at the size. And then I told myself, this is the only church I have to beat. Once I clear this one, I've cleared all the churches in Africa. That was the ambitious me. That me had to die. So when we started, the prayer and fasting that we did, the all night, the all day on Saturdays, the strategic planning meetings, and nothing was working. I remember the day I got to the office and said, what's everybody doing in the office? The church is not growing. Follow me. Evangelism, went to police barracks, everywhere. Church must grow. The next Sunday, I was watching out. At least attendance must go up today. Attendance didn't go anywhere. Then I was frustrated. And when God would change things, he began to make us to stop all those things we were doing in the flesh. Because if the church had grown, we would have credited what we were doing. When I had night vigil one day, I was about to leave the house. My spirit didn't want to leave the house. Something was, and I'd been a Christian a few years. It was very unusual. I said, Lord, how will the senior pastor not go for night vigil? So I knelt down by my bed. Lord, should I go for this night vigil? And I thought it was a ridiculous question, but I had to because something wasn't gelling in my spirit. And he said to me, if you go, whatever happens to you on the way will be your responsibility. I said, ah. It's okay, sir. So I slept. And the next day, I asked the pastors, how was it? They said it was the most difficult all night they ever had. That, in fact, the people were sleeping. That eventually, they had to shut down the night vigil. So I said, Lord, what is all this about? He said, that's it. It is flesh that you are using to drive it. Leave it. There is no grace on it. Leave it. So we stopped. Stop different things like that. Adjusted. Well, church exploded. So, but I will still be thinking, hey. All the prayer, all the fasting, all the beginning we were planning to do. Now we're not doing anything. So one day I said, Lord, I hope something bad will not happen to us. So he said, what would I have done that I have not done? That you want to insist on doing your works? I said, nothing. What you have done? He said, then just leave it and give me the credit. It's not your struggles. It's not works. I want to encourage someone here. Amen. As we take the communion, yield your life to God. Give him. Give him. And from that point on, whatever he tells you to do, do it. However risky or however crazy it may seem. See, it's looking, this guy is looking beautiful now. When we started, it wasn't looking like that. We left comfort. We left official accommodation. Went to the outskirts of the city to rent a house. Didn't have bed. Bought a mattress. Put it on the floor. This is our first few nights. We slept on the floor with our daughter. It wasn't like that, but we were acting on what was invisible. It was a revelation. I believe God, the next 20 years, we enter a new phase here now. And the next 20 years will be amazing. Amen. It will be amazing. Amen. The first 20 will be nothing in comparison to what God is going to do the next 20 years. But the one thing I pray about is that as we take the communion tonight, the you that arrived at tonight will cease to exist. A new you, infused with the life of God, filled with the Spirit of God, influenced and animated by the Holy Ghost. A new you with eyes open. I mean spiritual eyes. Ears open. A new you that hears God easily. A new you that obeys God. And what it will take others 100 years, you will do in 10 days. A new you that cannot be stopped. Not even by human systems. A new you that will be very different from who you used to be. Amen. A new you with a change of status. Amen. A new you with capacity to minister. Amen. A new you that is a solution provider. Amen. Anointed by the Holy Ghost like Jesus. Amen. As the world runs into crisis, these are dark times, runs into crisis, you will be the solution provider. Amen. A new you that will fulfill destiny. A new you that will evolve. And that new you, nobody would have ever seen before. Yeah. Until the seed is sown, it is trapped inside a hard shell. Potential unrealized, unfulfilled. But when it dies, the potential is unleashed. The new you that I see will be the fulfillment of prophecy. Fulfillment of dreams. Amen. The new you that I see can't be limited by lack of funds. Amen. The new you that I see will enjoy unlimited favor. Amen. Prison could not keep Joseph. That's what I'm talking about. The new you that I see, where man's systems put you, their systems will not be able to keep you anymore. That new you will transcend human qualification and human classifications. That new you, what you lack in the physical, Holy Spirit will compensate for. The ones who have the qualification will be looking at you ahead. The ones that had the social connections will be looking at you ahead. David was not in the lineage of any king. And they brought him from following sheep from the bush to the center stage. And we're still talking about him. So I'm saying that the new you that evolves tonight, after we identify, or as we identify with the death and resurrection of Christ, there will be some qualities to your life that will make it difficult for them to forget you. If Jesus tarries in his coming long after you have gone, there will be some reason why they will still be talking about you. The new you that I see, when you speak, people will turn to look the second time. Those who knew you before will hear you now and recognize that something has changed. Because the powers of heaven will engage your brain, engage your mind, engage your emotions. Wisdom will flow through you. Solutions will come more easily to you. One day, I had to ask, why do I think the way I think? Because I suddenly realized, it's different. There's a way I look at things, or I see things, that is just different. The only explanation, Holy Spirit. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. The new you that evolves in Christ tonight operates in authority. You can never be victimized again. No power can be used to oppress you or hold you down. You will always break through. Since God began to help us, we became unstoppable. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Stretch forth your hands towards this communion table. And I want you to pray to the Lord. Take this life. It's not mine in the first place. I identify tonight with the death of Christ. And as I do, let me be raised by the power of the Holy Spirit, like Christ was raised. Let me be raised like Christ was raised. Romans 6:3-4. Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death. That as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. Lord, I lay down my ambitions. I lay down my plans. This life is not mine. It's yours. I put it down as I take the body and the blood of the Lord tonight. I put it down. Now, let your spirit fill me and raise me and use me for your glory. Let your kingdom come on my life. And let your will be done as you have proposed from heaven. The implications of this prayer, only God knows where you will be in 5 years' time. Radical movements, radical shifts, radical instructions, dangerous obedience, resulting in massive shifts. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we have testified that you keep your covenant. So tonight, we identify, like we did 20 years ago, with the death and the resurrection of Christ. And once again tonight, we covenant this star to you. It's not our property. We didn't bring it this far. It's been you. For all that you have done tonight, we give you all the glory. All the lives changed, both here and in places we can't even see, we don't know about. We give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare tonight a new beginning. Take what this star is now, which is a harvest of the seeds that were sown before. Heavenly Father, turn this harvest into a seed. In 1998, you said the present day star needs to die for me to evolve a new one. We went through the process. We enter the season of much fruit. Heavenly Father, take this day star. Bury it. And by the power that raised Christ from death, raise a new day star. A day star. And Lord, when we say day star, we talk about everyone who is a part of this vision. And everyone who will be a part of this vision. Heavenly Father, take this day star into a season of much fruit. A season of multiplication, increase, expansion, enlargement in unusual ways. Yes, Heavenly Father, engage each one's life. Amen. Engage each family. Amen. Engage each organization. Amen. Set up by members of Daystar Christian Center. Amen. And Heavenly Father, turn them into things we've never seen before. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your miracle working power. And so, Lord, I prophesy on your people. It's a new season. Amen. A much fruit season. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, I pray for the person present here today or probably even watching on the internet who doesn't have a personal relationship with you. That's the requirement, Lord. We identify with the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we receive forgiveness of sins. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, because in this place tonight, there's forgiveness of sins. May I ask, just before we take the communion, that if you're that honest person, you are present here, or you're watching on the internet, and you say, Pastor, my relationship with God is not okay, I'm a sinner, and I want God to forgive me my sins. If Jesus comes back now, I'm not sure I'm going to make heaven. I want God to forgive me my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? I want to pray with you a short prayer. And we'll take the communion. It is saying this prayer that qualifies you to take the communion because it becomes your reality. God bless you for your honesty. If you're right here or in the overflow, your hand is on your heart, or you know you should be a part of this prayer, can you please stand up by your chair? Can you please stand by your chair? We'll be done in about 1 minute. It's a short prayer. God bless you. You didn't come here by accident today. But we are proof. When you give your life to Jesus, you give your heart to God, you have a covenant with Him, your life will never remain the same. If you're standing, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing me. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our brothers and sisters who are standing. Or those watching on the internet who are a part of this prayer. Thank you because their sins are forgiven now. And thank you, Heavenly Father, because the nature of sin is removed from them. God's nature is in them now. Teach them to know you personally and to walk with you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Please have your seats. God bless you. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap. What a day to give your life to Christ. Our ushers gave you a card while you were standing. Please fill it with accurate information right now. When we close the service, just leave it on your seat. We have very important information we'll get across to you after today. Thank you, Lord. Can you please stretch forth your hands here as we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we take the body of the Lord, we do this on behalf of every member of Daystar Christian Center. And we declare, Heavenly Father, tonight is termination point. Amen. For the old us. Amen. And tonight is a new beginning. Amen. The beginning of a much fruit season. Amen. Each one resurrects with a new level of spiritual authority. Amen. Authority to take cities. To take industries. Amen. To take nations. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The limitations of yesterday are dead. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And I declare tonight, Heavenly Father, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Everyone who is in a covenant with you tonight, and we declare this on the behalf of every member of Daystar Christian Center, we declare they cannot be cursed. Yeah. Ancestral curses have been finished. Yeah. Their effects are eroded. Yeah. By the power of God. Yeah. Each one is in a cycle of blessing. Yeah. Death will see them and be powerless. Sicknesses and diseases lose their power. Amen. Poverty is helpless. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Like the resurrected Christ, each one has access to the resources of heaven. Amen. Everything they need to fulfill your will shall be supplied. Amen. Without stress. Amen. And I declare for each one a change of status. Amen. Paupers have become princes. The poor have become wealthy. The sick have become healthy. The low now sit in a high place. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we take the blood of Christ and we declare the blood that he shed was not shed in vain. Our sins are washed away. Every legal ground Satan has to afflict us is shattered. Amen. Heavenly Father, cause an evolution in the life of each one. Amen. That will make us the kind of people Africa never produced before. Amen. Men and women of excellence. Amen. Excellent spirits. Amen. Excellent minds. Amen. Excellent skills. In the name of Jesus. And I declare excellent leaders. Lord, Satan is destroying homes. In Daystar, build homes that are indestructible. And use us to break the yokes of Satan over families. On a global dimension. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415. Or 01815-1435, or email us at contactus@daystarng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregun, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed.
you will succeed.